With, of course, Chanel.
Hello.
Hello.
One time I just need to stay silent throughout that to make you think that you've lost me. That would be pretty cool.
Chanel? Okay, baby, it's just Chanel? Me and solo show today. That would not be good. I'd be confused.
That'd be
terrible. So it's been quite the week.
Mm.
The Super Bowl's over.
Yep.
And thank goodness for that. Got another 7 months until the Bills can go on the warpath once again and kick some ass. And hopefully be where the Giants are at this point next year.
Yes, they must be Super Bowl champs.
So, you told me that you had actually joined in on the inaugural online viewing of the Super Bowl.
Yes, I watch the Super Bowl stream live from the internet for the first time.
How was that?
Well, I watched it on NBC.com, and you don't get any of the cool commercials. It's a lot of football black screen telling you that you'll be back to the Super Bowl momentarily.
Ah.
Then some crappy ads, and then some more football. I liked it, though, that they had a camera on the sidelines the whole time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you were either seeing the Patriots side or the Giants side the whole time in the corner of the screen. You could actually expand that, too, if you wanted to. I thought that was pretty cool because you were watching both the football game and then in the right-hand
the reactions
corner, you saw the... A lot of times, just the coaches. They stayed on one coach or the other.
Right.
But, that was different. I thought that was, you know, an added bonus of watching it on the internet.
Yeah. Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's a couple decent commercials, but overall, you didn't miss anything. I mean, one of the issues with the commercials this year is the fact that prior to the Super Bowl, there were so many of them that were already leaked on YouTube or Good Morning America.
Yeah, they talked about a lot of them. I mean, even I knew about some of them. Like, the one with Matthew Broderick was really hyped a lot about, even on YouTube. A lot of people speculated about that.
Well, I mean, because they teased it, like, two or three weeks out.
Yeah.
With just a very small clip of it. And then, like, a week before the show, they're like, okay, let's just show you the whole damn thing. It's like, what the hell? What good is this?
Yeah, definitely didn't probably give them the reaction that they were looking for. But, you know, if they get people to talk about it.
That's true. But the question is, are they talking about what's being sold or the fact that there was a Matthew Broderick, Ferris Bueller-esque commercial?
Well, then, real fast, what was the commercial selling?
Yeah, it was a CRV.
It was a CRV. You and I both know that it was a CRV.
But that's only because I've heard, well, I'd only seen the commercial once, but between all the different podcasts I listened to, I'd heard the commercial probably about 5 times before actually seeing it. That's the only reason I know.
Oh, see, I knew right away. Like, I remembered it was the CRV right away, but granted, that's going to be my second car, so I might be a little bit more in tune with CRVs.
This I did not realize.
Well, I am a Honda aficionado. I like them. I think I will always have a Honda. And the next car I would like to have would be a Honda CRV.
Well, I have no qualms with that whatsoever. I'm definitely not a person that is brand loyal, especially when it comes to cars. Granted, I have had two Fords. As far as my Thunderbird and my Focus, my others are, what was it, a Dodge, Intrepid, and, what the hell is that? It's basically, what car does my dad have? Damn it, I can't remember.
A Cadillac?
Hmm?
Does your dad have a Cadillac?
Yeah, no, it's not a Cadillac.
I don't know, then.
I don't know. But it's basically an older version of that. But yeah. It doesn't matter. To say it simply,
You're not grand lawyer.
Whatever brand.
Yes, okay.
I'm not even one of those, though I have had nothing but Made in America vehicles. I'm not even one of those, it absolutely 100% has to be Made in America. Other products, maybe. But cars, as long as it gets me from here to there, that's all I care about.
Well, I mean, I don't think people even realize that with Hondas, it's only like 35% Japanese.
Right.
I mean, the rest of it is made here, and it's built here.
I mean, and I get the wanting to keep jobs in America and
all that. But they do. I mean, it's not that Honda takes.
Exactly. But for me, as far as just being a car owner, I don't care where it comes from as long as we've got any part that I need to fix it.
Yeah.
We have to send away with it. Okay, then maybe we're in a little trouble. Maybe I shouldn't have bought that car to begin with. But other than that, I think we're pretty good.
Okay.
But on to the game itself. You were rooting for the Patriots, weren't you?
Did you talk to my sister? Did you join up forces with her?
No. No, that's right. You were going for the Giants.
Yeah, why the hell would I root for the Patriots? Why the hell would you root for the Patriots?
The only reason I even thought so is because for some reason I thought I heard you say, I don't want to see the Giants win.
No, I want to see the Giants win. I don't want to see. I hate fucking Tom Brady. Why? Why? Isn't that one of the Bills' biggest rivals, if I recall
this
correctly?
That's right. That's what I should have remembered, because I remember us having this conversation.
So vote for them to win?
Well,
besides that, I want to hit Tom Brady in the face every time I see him.
This is true. Did you hear about his wife
Giselle
blaming all the receivers?
Yes, I had that on my list of things to talk about, but whatever.
Such bullshit. Yes, there was some issues, but...
But at the same time, when that happens, besides that your husband's Tom Brady, and I always want to hit him in the face when I see him, you shouldn't be provoked to say anything. Like, I mean, to me, it just showed that she was classless, you know?
Yeah.
I understand you're upset, your husband just lost a ring and all sorts of fame or what have you, but walk your skinny ass away and just shut up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he doesn't already have three others.
Three others and enough money between the two of them, and they live happily ever after. Got cute kids, apparently. Shut up.
Who knows? I mean, I agree. I was happy to see basically the exact same thing that happened in 2007 happen yet again. One amazing catch kept the Giants in it to let them go down and kicked Patriots' ass.
Well, what I think is so interesting, and I know it's all about strategies and all of this, but like I was talking with the guys at work today, is the fact that the Giants wanted to be stopped on the 1 yard line.
Right.
The Patriots did not stop them. He had no choice but to get a touchdown.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know enough of the rules. I don't know all the rules, but I know enough to know that, you know, you can't just drop yourself on the 1 yard line and be like, yep, this is it.
You can. You can't. He was actually trying to, but his momentum carried him in.
Mm-hmm. But still, I mean,
I'm sorry, that's what he's saying today.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at the footage,
it doesn't.
He wanted a touchdown.
I think he did, too. And I think that he was trying to let them stop him, but they didn't. But I feel like there was enough Patriots around there to stop them. They just didn't want to because they wanted the 3 minutes to give themselves a shot to get a touchdown.
Well, it wasn't even 3 minutes. At that point, they only had about 58 seconds. Because the thing was, if
3 minutes.
They... No. Yes. Not after that last touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. Right. Because if he would have stopped at the 1 yard line, and they would have had to use their last time out, they would have been the farthest. The Giants would have been able to bring the clock down. Would have been, I believe, 20 seconds. I mean, if we can look it up. It's okay. Be very 1 second. Very easy. While we keep talking about the game, trying to think. Overall, I did think that was an interesting final Hail Mary, and was surprised that Gronkowski did not come up with it, even though he was injured as hell. All right, so after checking NFL.com, it was 1 minute left, and then they took their timeout, or the Patriots had one timeout left to march the field and get a touchdown, which obviously, as we know now, thankfully, did not happen.
No, it did not.
But the one thing I do find funny about just the Super Bowls and how they've been going is, even back when the Bills were in the fucking Super Bowl every year, it seems like the winner goes in waves. As far as the last, like, four or five champions we've had now have all been NFC champions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just very interesting. As far as, you know, Giants, what was it? Giants, Saints, or Giants, Patriots, Saints. Don't remember who was before them, and then the Giants again. But hopefully, next year...
It's going to be the Bills.
Damn right. We've got to break the streak of the NFC.
We do.
And that was what was the wonderfulness of the Super Bowl. And I'm sure you'll hear much, much more football in the future, but for now, it goes bye-bye until the draft, or until something exciting happens, I guess. But that then takes us to the news.
And long silence.
Yep. I promise next week. Maybe.
No maybes. Next week.
Okay. Next week.
Because you keep going back and forth, and you're like, well, maybe the fourth, or probably the fifth. And then before you know it, we're like 28 episodes in, and you still have no sound effect here.
It's okay. Hopefully we can make it up with these fantastic stories.
All right, go.
So first off, in New Taipei City, the body of Chen Rong Yu, age 23, was found slumped over in a chair in a cafe where they were playing. It was a video game cafe where he was rigid on a chair with his hand stretched out towards a keyboard and a mouse, police said. He had been playing League of Legends. His body had apparently been sitting there for 9 hours without any of the other 30 people in the cafe even noticing. He was last seen talking on the phone around noon on Wednesday, and they say he died from a combination of tiredness, lack of movement, the cold weather could have caused blood clots, and a heart attack.
Jesus.
That's kind of a warning to me. Not to just sit here and play Xbox all day long.
Well,
get up, move around so I don't...
Get blood clots?
Yeah. That wouldn't be good.
No.
Not good at all. But I just think it's hilarious. Well, I don't think it's hilarious, but I think it's odd that with 30 other people there, or I guess not just there from beginning to the end, but in and out, none of them notice this guy... just dead.
I don't know, though. I mean, it depends on, you know, since he was stretched out and looked like he was playing his game, you know. I don't know.
True.
I think somebody would have to notice his laptop, because eventually that would shut down.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, it could have also looked like he was just sleeping as well.
Yeah.
They don't really say what his condition was, other than him leaning forward to his keyboard.
Yeah.
But in other news, thanks to Reuters, they bring us the news that Miami has been named the most miserable U.S. city.
Yay, that's just, for Miami.
Actually, that was off of the Forbes.com list.
Mm.
And other, basically when I looked through the top 20, minus maybe one or two, literally one or two other cities in other states, all of the miserable cities are in Florida, Illinois, Michigan, and California. Which I just think is fascinating.
Well,
that all of the misery is coming from just these four places.
Well, I'm sure that's a multitude of reasons why.
True. But, I mean, at least some of them have decent weather. Something not... Well, I guess then again, during the summer, the heat could be miserable.
Or you have tourists flocking there because they've got nice weather.
That's also true. Let's see. The only other news I've got today is that I believe this is over in... Oh, what's the country? It doesn't say. But over near the Dutch people.
The Netherlands?
Thank you.
Please don't tell me you're going to talk about the divorce hotel.
Or are you going to talk about it?
Yes, I was.
Take it on.
I knew it. I said we need to talk about our stories first, and you just totally went over top of me because I said, oh, we don't want to do repeats.
I'm sorry. You are more than welcome.
No, go for it.
I just thought in front of us in case we need any more information.
It's all you. I'll comment.
Well, thanks to the brainchild of Jim Halfens, they are starting to use some hotels in the Netherlands to basically have couples come to end their marriages in just a few short days, where they will go and meet with lawyers and basically just have it all in 2 days, all of the settlements and product or items being split up between the two will be handled in
all the legal documents are handled because it's making it cheaper in the Netherlands because it can cost up to five figures in several months for a divorce. Also cheaper because they're drawing up the legal documents for them, and then it can be done in a couple weeks once they file those with the court system. After their hotel getaway.
Yeah. And their next, if this is successful, the next places they think they're going to be exploring is Germany and, of course, the United States of America.
But what I found fascinating is the fact that, of course, they want to make this not really a reality show, but a documentary series.
Well, I mean, I don't see why not. Maybe give those couples a break on the lawyer's fees. I mean, we already have all of these, well, granted, like they said, they don't want to make it a reality show, but...
Well, I mean, I feel like it would be more like Hoarders or Intervention or...
Yeah.
Where those are more like interviews and then that kind of stuff. It's more documentary-esque, I guess.
Right. All right, and that's all the news I've got.
Well, you stole one of my stories.
I'm sorry.
So I have one now, and I found this wildly fascinating, and it kind of goes back to the Super Bowl. But,
okay,
you know, Doritos ran a contest this year, right?
Right.
And there's $1 million prize, because I think they choose three commercials, and the three commercials they choose, they get $25,000 for being chosen. Congratulations. But if the ad happens to be the top ad, they win $1 million Super Bowl prize. Well, okay. A Virginia Beach production company won the $1 million prize.
Was it the one with the baby?
No, it was the one with the dog. The Great Dane. Yes, the Great Dane is out of Virginia Beach, and so is the production company. And those brothers won $1 million. I mean, thought the Great Dane, because I saw most of them on YouTube, and I thought that was the best one. But it was also ranked number one on, I'm trying to find it.
Right. Me personally, I still like the grandma and the baby. Just little kid taunting the kid. I mean, it kind of goes back to that, last year's commercial with the guy taunting the dog behind the door. Except this time, the kid on the swing, or the playset, teasing the little kid that's in, like, this little, I don't even know what you would call that little bouncy thing he was in, next to his grandma, teasing him with the Doritos until she gets tired of the annoying brat, and then just flings the kid right at it.
Yeah, I didn't think that one was F funny, but I'm not a big baby person. I like dogs better, so I thought the dog was funnier. I just think that out of 6,100 entries, for it to come out of Virginia Beach to be the top winner was just cool. It was local news.
I agree.
That is why I was sharing it.
This is fantastic.
Oh, yay.
And that, what's the news?
And no sound effect leading out.
Nope. Keeping you wanting more.
Sound effect leading into movie reviews either.
Well, first, before we get to the movie reviews.
Oh, doing something before them, I didn't see.
Yes, we did actually get a little comment from Tommy.
Okay.
Who was an old listener of my previous podcast. Hey, Lucas, I'm still listening. Just been too damn busy to send an email or anything. You guys are doing a great job. Trying to download and listen at work. Keep up with the Patriots. Well, Tommy, now you've got plenty of time on your hands. Sorry about your bills, dudes. Maybe next year. You're damn right next year. We're going to sweep the Patriots next year. No doubt in my mind. Y'all keep up the good stuff. Thanks, and take it easy. Later. So thank you, Tommy, for sending your comment.
Yes, thank you.
Letting us know that you didn't have any time to send an email.
Well, an email is different. You have to put more thought into it than a fly-by-your-pants comment. But, you know, he was the one that sent or shared that link on our Facebook account about the dog crying. That was very cool.
That is true.
I thought that was fun. It was very sad and heartwarming, but good all at the same time.
Yes.
Warm fuzzies.
And also, I'd like to give a shout-out, a shout right back to our boy Dave, who just finally got his new podcast, Devour the Podcast, up and running, and has his first episode finally released, I believe, last night or the night before. So you can always check that out on iTunes or go to http://feeds.feedburner.com.
Very nice.
Devour the podcast.
I will be listening indeed. After the show.
Indeed, we shall. But other than that, I guess it's time to get on to our reviews.
Oh,
Year of the Dog.
That sounded good.
By Lucas. I was kind of taken a little surprised by this movie. The fact that they pulled the Marley and Me right up front and said, hey, look at this cute dog. Look at it. You know you like it, and you've only seen it for 5 seconds. Come on, he's whimpering. You like it. Well, he dies. And after that, our good friend Molly Shannon, though she doesn't technically go crazy, As far as I'm concerned, she goes crazy.
Well, she does have some bouts of insanity.
Yeah, she basically has a mental breakdown. I mean, to a degree.
I mean, it's not slow coming. Like, they don't, it's not, like, immediate, you know?
Yeah.
So they do have a slow coming of the breakdown because she doesn't handle the dog dying well.
And the fact that, from what I could see, she basically did this entire movie without makeup, it seemed to be less and less not non-makeup.
Well, I think that was part of her character, though, too.
No, I totally agree. Okay. It was just a different side of Molly Shannon.
And she's not funny either.
No.
But I think she handles the character well.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I was a little upset with her boss.
Yeah.
Because the first time we... Was it Robert? I think. Starts with R, I know.
Yeah.
Well, first time we meet him, I feel like him and me are simpatico. I get his plight, feeling like you're being overworked and not compensated enough.
Yeah.
And then after that, it all went downhill as far as me and him goes.
Yeah, turns a little bit, yeah.
He was an unemotional dick, in a way.
In a way.
I mean, at the end, he kind of comes through.
Yeah,
but
they make him seem nicer.
Yeah, but you can also tell, not only because of all the people, the way he talks about the people above him, that even though he's her boss, he's not exactly even near a higher rung in that corporation.
No.
He just seems middle management and not too happy about it.
Pretty much.
Let's see. Good, not really good acting by, what's his name? Her neighbor, Al. Oh,
he's in The Stepbrother. I don't remember his
name. Yeah, I know his name. I can't remember it now. It's definitely not one of his best performances at all. Granted, he didn't really have much.
He's definitely
his character plays a big part in the movie.
Yeah.
But him as an actor, and as far as screen time, there's, not enough really to build a character out of it, but John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
That's who it is. He didn't do all that well. Let's see, her family. Lissy. Kind of confusing. They kind of had,
the little girl.
Lissy played her up as kind of a hypochondriac. Kind of a forced hypochondriac.
Who, the mother?
And, huh?
The mother?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she kind of...
They make Lizzie really like her partner because, she likes animals too.
Well, yeah. But that didn't even come out all that much until halfway through the movie.
Well, they didn't really...
The whole beginning of their relationship or us getting to know Lizzie was that her mother was way overprotective and wouldn't let her do anything.
Well, that was the point, was that you kind of had to get the parents out of the picture. Her interaction with the daughter.
Let's see. To go from pencil to Valentine, a little stretch. I could see where she was going with it as far as she just wanted a dog.
Well, she wanted to save a dog.
Well, yeah. As we could tell by the end of the movie where she tries to save every dog she sees. And the only thing I didn't like about her character is the fact that she was so easily manipulated.
I don't find it that way. I don't see that she was easily manipulated. I think that she was searching for something, and that's why I think that it wraps up so well at the, at the end, is that I think that the point was is that by Pencil dying, it shook what she knew, where she was comfortable, and then, she ended up with this chain reaction of meeting these different characters and these different events, and then getting Valentine, which was drastically different than Pencil, which, of course, she met the trainer. But, you know, he, of course, being vegan and all this stuff that dramatically changed her life.
But that's what I was talking about.
It gave her a purpose, you know.
But that's why I was talking about her being easily manipulated. For the simple fact that throughout most of the movie, and the way she ends the movie, is this whole separation from humans and only being able to get happiness from animals. Which, okay, I get it.
But see, I didn't get that in the end.
I did. Because every human that she'd been trying to get a relationship with, other than her friend at work, pushes her away or hurts her in some way.
Yes, but I feel like she finds her sense of community with the people who feel the way she does.
But I don't even know that she... It mattered to her, the other people. The other people, I may just not have gotten it. But the way I see it is that it wasn't the other people and her interacting with those other people.
But see, what I got it as...
The reason she did it, she left the regular working world so that she can help animals,
yes.
Period.
But in that way, she found her own voice and what she enjoyed doing. Because with the email that she sends out in the end, it's basically because she's, you know, she's not doing what anybody expects her to do anymore. She's doing what she truly wants to do. And I think that's the profound moment, is the fact that even though you may have seen her be manipulated and she may have lost her mind at a point or two, and she's kind of going, drudging through this, because I think I like it so much is because we don't all have these revelations in these movies that are so dramatic and so clear. And hers was kind of mucked up and weird and twisted, which is how I think it is really, you know? And that I think that, you know, if something really does change you, those things stick with you. Because even if she was manipulated by the trainer that... Yeah, if she wasn't, you know, if she didn't feel like that resonated with her to be vegan, to fight for animal rights, she could have just gotten another dog and settled right back down into the same life she had. But that fired her up, and it kept her going, and those are the types of things that change you. And I like that it wasn't, you know, so clean cut. You know, these are, for me, it felt more like real. In her decision-making process, because that's what happens in life.
Well, I mean, it came to, I like this guy because he likes dogs. Hey, you're a vegan? I'm a vegan too, because now that you've just said that, it all makes sense to me, even though, really, it's not that far out of a concept of if you love animals so much that, you know, you don't want to hurt them in so much of a way that you wouldn't be eating, you know, animals to begin with. And I don't know. Just the odd thought of me. Newt was one of the weirdest characters. And kind of not betrayed, but misled her in many different ways.
He did.
And maybe I'm just a cynic, but he seemed to love those dogs a little bit too much.
Well, he does.
Not the way she likes dogs.
No. I don't know if that's really completely implied. I mean, he does tell her he's asexual, so, I mean, he puts that out there. But, I mean, it's one of my favorite movies, but then again... If
I still
like
think my favorite
dog
in the entire thing was Buttons.
Yes, I did like Buttons.
Buttons was a badass with his little wheelchair.
Yes, it's very cute.
But if I were to go on a 5 scale, I mean, it's not a movie I'd watch over and over again. I'd probably give it a 3.
Yeah.
It wasn't a terrible movie at all. It's something I would say, go ahead and watch it. But
it is dramatically different than Pulp Fiction, which I think is the point.
Yeah. Most definitely. And on to Pulp Fiction by Chanel.
It's definitely not a movie I would care to watch again. When I started watching it, I realized how I've actually seen a lot more of Pulp Fiction than I realized. I just never saw it in the correct sequence of the movie.
Right.
I don't know if it was, and I think a lot of it's just because in the media they put clips of it all the time. I'm sure, I think my brother's watched it numerous times. I'm sure I've seen it then too. The one thing I did enjoy is I like a lot of the older John Travolta stuff. Right. I just think that's when he was the best. I think he was raw then and like more relatable. Mm-hmm. And I just liked him better then. There's something about John Travolta in those early years that I really like. Right. I did like the coloring and how it was shot and all of that. Some of it was disturbing for me.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly by my light fluffy choice of the year of the dog again and decides to protect animals to Pulp Fiction where a guy is shot in the nuts.
True.
It's a bit different. It's a bit different.
Not to mention bringing out the gimp.
Yeah. It is a movie you have to follow. I figured out because I was talking to Cassandra, my sister, halfway through. I realized I had to pause it and go back. Because
It's definitely not one that you could just miss a couple parts because...
You don't understand.
Because it's shot so out of sequence,
yes.
So much in so many different areas means a lot later.
Yes. And you have to figure that out. And two,
right.
I started talking to Cassandra right after they had left the restaurant.
Okay.
Travolta's character, I think it was Vince, what's his name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vince Vega.
Yeah, and then
Uma Thurman's
character had left the... which, by the way, I figured that was a really cool concept that we needed in Williamsburg, so I was going to open that restaurant.
Jackrabbit Slim's.
That's right, where they're dancing. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came back, and literally just coming from out of the kitchen because of how the action so quickly or rapidly happens in this movie, which is nice. There's always something going on.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they were back in the car, and she was bleeding, and I didn't know what happened. So I was like, whoa, what happened? I literally just went into the kitchen, answered the phone, came back out, and was like...
And she's almost died.
Yes, and I'm like, what is happening? And so then I just was like, oh, pause it, and I finished my conversation, and then I was like, okay, now I just gotta sit down and figure out where I ended and where I need to go. So I got back to the restaurant, and I was able to follow it from there, but... Can I see why it's a cult classic? Yes. Did I watch it once all the way through? Yes. Did I like John Travolta? Yes. Would I watch it again? No. I personally would not watch that movie again.
Right.
I just, I liked, the action sequence. It brings me into a world I will probably never come in contact with, considering I've never done drugs. Two, do not plan on getting involved in any sort of mafia gang sort of mentality, nor do I plan on,
You're not going to rob a diner?
Yeah, I'm not going to rob a diner. I'm not going to, kill somebody in a boxing match and take all the money and yell at my girlfriend because you don't have my father's watch.
She is the most annoying woman. She has the most annoying voice.
She does.
About the damn pancakes. I want some blueberry pancakes. She's right up you to watch. I didn't mean it.
Well, I like...
Come on, baby. It was right on the kangaroo.
Yeah, that's funny enough, but... I just thought it was funny when she was talking about having a pot belly.
Yes.
And then, of course, I liked how she talked about when she's like, which is funny, we think is visually sexy isn't necessarily what we feel is sexy.
Right.
And I thought that was pretty interesting. It was a good point.
How'd you think, what do you think of Samuel L. Jackson in this film? As, even though, as we saw in that one documentary this weekend, he said that, oh, what the fuck was it? That Bruce Willis movie. Die Hard, The Vengeance was his breakout. I still think this was his motion picture breakout film of the year, or of ever.
Well, I never saw Die Hard.
Okay.
So I don't have anything to base it off of there. But there are, you know, definitely other Samuel L. Jackson movies that I find better. Granted, they're much later on in his career.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did well. I think, you know, his character's definitely interesting. It's definitely a good character for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see where any of them really, you know, it's a good movie and as a whole. Like, they're good characters in this movie as a whole, because
right.
They kind of seamlessly go through, you know, one set of characters to another set of characters to another set of characters, which is really nice.
And yet they're all intertwined.
And they are. But, I mean, I don't...
You just don't note that until near the end.
You don't, but at the same time, even with they're going seamlessly from one to the other, it's easy to follow. And I thought all the characters played their parts really well. So I don't know if I would say that he stood out more than anyone else.
Okay.
I know I didn't get a full synopsis of Pulp Fiction, but I figured a lot more people have seen Pulp Fiction than I have.
This is true.
And I don't want to, since it is a cult classic, and I can see why, I don't want to talk so negatively about it, but...
No, hey, you don't think about it like that. You talk about however you feel.
I mean, there's just, you know, there are just things in movies that I just choose not to see, but it happens because they're in movies, and you see it,
right.
And I just personally feel like on a daily basis it's just, you know, not what I sign up for.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of the other movie that I saw in theaters. I'm trying to remember the name of it. But, I mean, that movie dealt with a disturbing topic, and I just knew I would never see that movie again. It's one of those things I watch them once, and it's good enough. And it's like, I understand. People can talk to me about it, and I can say yes. And I think that it really had some good one-liners. I see why it's pulled out a lot in media, and people, you know, go back to it, you know.
Right.
And, you know, the way it was, all the content was handled, but there were just things that I didn't like about it. That I just don't like about, that I'm just not comfortable with dealing with. I don't want to see it.
Right.
I just don't. I mean, I'm not a big, I don't like a lot of violence. Like, I watch a lot of movies once that have violence in them just because they have them in there, and I see it, and I move on.
Right.
I mean, hell, I like WWE because I know they're really not wrestling.
Yeah. Well, you know none of that violence is happening.
Exactly. Well, I know that,
well,
too,
no,
but it's more visually
film,
graphic.
All that violence isn't happening.
Yes, but it's more visually graphic than
that's true.
Two big men basically man-hugging.
True.
You know, like an hour and a half. I'm just saying, you know, there's a difference. Hell, I
mean,
you saw even when I was at, what did we see, that Tom Cruise movie?
Mm-hmm. Mission Impossible 3.
I jumped like three or four times in that movie.
Yeah.
I just fright easy. This had a lot of gunshots happening. It's a lot of, you know.
I don't know. But it's definitely going to be interesting, because I'm so desensitized at this point. Especially when you look at my collection of movies, it's all over the board. There's a lot of violence. A lot of it. And it just didn't, I don't know. Not something I like, oh, I must see it because it's violent, but it just doesn't get to me.
I mean, but it doesn't necessarily... gets to me. I mean, I'm jumpy with, you know, noises and high impacts and things like that I see. But even then, I mean, if people come up behind me and I don't see them in my peripheral, if I turn around and somebody's there, I'm startled. Yeah. But you just, I do just fright easy. It just happens. And there are just people like that. I can't, right. Doesn't matter how many times you scare me, I can't desensitize myself from it. It just happens. It's just that, you know, can I say the movie was well made? Yes. Can I say that I enjoyed it once? Yes. Am I going to say that I would ever watch it again? No. And I'm that way with a lot of movies that deal yeah. with violence because I don't necessarily like to see it or think about it.
Right.
I mean, do I know that it happens? Do I know that what happens in Pulp Fiction probably happens in the real world? Yes. Clearly, that's where the ideas come from. They sprout.
But that's what surprises me about you liking Year of the Dog so much. Not to say it's a bad movie or anything like that, but the fact that there's not plenty of, but enough sad, messed up looking dogs, and one in particular that looks a lot like your dog being dragged along.
Yes, well, I mean...
Which I almost find, and it's not more disturbing, but I find disturbing.
Well, that's, you know, it was hard for me to watch The Year of the Dog the first time all the way through. I had to pause it. And that's because there's a difference between how I react to Pulp Fiction and how I react to The Year of the Dog. I'm not disturbed by what happened in Pulp Fiction. I just don't like to see it. I saw it. I watched it. I got the concept. There were a couple times when I was like, ugh. And there's just too much for me. Just violent-wise, blood, the whole thing. You already know how I deal with my own blood. If I see my own blood, I'm about to faint. And then there's just massive amount of it. The guy shot the dude in the head, and I was just like, blood everywhere.
Yes.
So, I mean, for me...
Didn't you have to hear about them talk about having to clean it up for the next 20
years. So, for me, it's...
Get the wolf in there.
It's more like... It's the visual part of it and then not really being very good with blood, even though I keep telling myself, it's not real, blood, it's movie blood, it's like ketchup, it's okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
It's just a guy from Mad TV, nobody's going missing, it's okay.
It's okay. So, I mean, it's not like I, you know, but I don't have, like, an emotional reaction to that. It's just more, and it's more the... Okay, I get the point. Why isn't this over yet? Or, you know, there were a couple parts that just thought was disturbing. So I'm like, is what really is happening right now? Because there's a couple scenes where they allude to it, and then, of course, you know, Bruce Willis goes in there and kicks ass, which is just what Bruce Willis does. Where with The Year of the Dog, when they talk about, you know, with first with Pencil dying at the beginning, which is a total wreck, and then when they talk about euthanizing the animals, and of course they do at one point use a yellow lab. So anytime anybody uses a yellow lab, which is the same reason why, to this day, I have not seen Marley and Me again.
You've seen it.
Okay. I've seen it. I watched it once. I know I will never watch that movie again. Do I think it's good? Yes.
Yeah.
Do I think I should own it? Probably because it has Jen Annan, but other than that, I mean, there's... I know I will never watch the movie again, which is the same reason why I won't buy it.
Right.
Because the dog reminds me so much of Ty, because he's crazy, he's weird, he's a yellow lab, he tears things up, they do all these wild adventures, which I've had with my dog, which I think most people have had with theirs. And of course, you know, with The Year of the Dog, with all the dogs being euthanized, and it is so strongly rooted in me to save every single living animal on the face of the earth, it's hard. You have to be able to detach yourself. But I think the reason why I like that movie, because it speaks to a side of me that I already have. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I do. I did cry a lot through that movie. I'm not going to say I didn't. And I think that I sympathize with Molly Shannon's character in the movie, which is also another reason why I think I like it so much, you know? Mm-hmm. Plus, I did think it was funny when she drowned the first.
Ant didn't understand. I mean, they were so lax with that.
Well, I think it was her small dig at her sister-in-law.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and I just thought that was pretty funny how they kind of slid that in there, and they still never really told you what happened with the first, but you just know the first no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, you know, somebody who's as diehard as she is, I don't think that I'm as diehard as she is, does not like the fact of the first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will never own a fur jacket, nor do I choose to. And yes, I think they're kind of disgusting. I don't think they're beautiful, and I don't think
that they should happen.
Yeah.
One thing I could cross off the Christmas / birthday list.
Yeah.
No fur.
No fur. Faux fur, yes. I like faux fur. I have boots with faux cheetah print on them. Faux cheetah fur. I'm okay with faux. Faux is good. Faux is your friend. But that's my point, is that I'm not deeply disturbed. I did watch it all the way through. There were points of the Pulp Fiction where I was just like, this is just too bloody. I did feel a little faint at times, but that's because I do with most anything that's bloody, be it real life or movies.
Mm-hmm.
Do I fright easy? Yes. This is usually why I don't watch many horror shows, just more or less because I find that my whole upper body hurts from as many times as I throw myself back into the couch. Because every time I'm scared, it's usually why I choose not to watch them, not because I don't think they're good.
Right, yeah,
I just physically can't handle them.
Well, one thing, never, ever, 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 ever let me let you watch Dead Alive. Ever.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay. I won't ask why, I'll just say okay.
Well, your discomfort of blood?
Yeah.
No. I can't remember if it actually came out to be the bloodiest movie ever made. And it's only because it's like 1 5-minute scene at the end where it's a zombie flick, but it's just ridiculous. And yeah, you don't need to see that.
Yeah, no.
So, out of 5, what would you give Pulp Fiction?
I would give it a 3.
Okay.
I mean, it probably deserves a 5 just because the casting was good and the picture was good, and I think overall the story was good, but I personally would give it a 3.
You are you're in every right to give it such.
Well, we said these would be dramatically different movies, and they were. I didn't expect you to really like The Year of the Dog.
I mean, this isn't something I'm going to be watching over and over again, or if ever again, but it wasn't terrible. I mean, it wasn't even bad. It just wasn't, like I said, not something I'd watch again.
Well, and for me, I only discovered this movie because I was bored one day and drove up to the Best Buy, which isn't that far from my house. And they have like the bargain bin movies.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was looking through there, and it had Molly Shannon, which I was a huge fan of her on SNL.
And she does still have a little bit of Mary Catherine Gallagher in her, in the movie.
Well, but honestly,
as far as her facial expressions.
Well, but I think that's just part of Molly Shannon.
Yeah, that's just her.
Yeah. So I just picked it up because I like Molly Shannon and I like dogs. So The Year of the Dog, why not? And I watched it, and I mean, it was difficult to get through the first time, but I, you know, watched it. And I was like, you know, this is a really good movie. And I thought Molly Shannon did a really good job as a dramatic actress.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason I watched it. And then you said Pulp Fiction, and I said The Year of the Dog. For you.
Well, I think for my next choice for you, I don't know if you want to do it for next week or you want to wait a week, but I'm definitely giving you a comedy on your next one. I'm kind of battling it out between two right now.
I hope I haven't seen them.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you have not seen either Grandma's Boy or Borat.
I have seen Borat.
You have? Okay, so there goes Borat.
Yes, please don't make me watch that again.
Oh, no. I wouldn't. I mean, none of these will be movies that you know, the other person's seen. That just makes it boring. Okay, let's just go ahead and get this review out of the way. I already know it.
Yeah, I did not care for Borat.
Oh, I thought it was hilarious the first time I saw it. And then after I got the DVD, I was like, okay, I watched it again. I'm like, okay. And all the little comedy shock values kind of worn off. It just, eh.
We should tell people that we are considering having the other person watch a series of movies. Movies that are series.
The only thing is, I know you apparently have some long series in mind. I've got a lot of series, but well, like one, a couple, just on the whole blood aspect. I guess I will chop out. But a lot of my series are short. We can always double up if need be. We'll see. If you'd like to start that, we can.
I would have to get mine. I'm just looking it up to see how many movies were in the series. Looks like there's only four. Well, there's volume two.
Oh, Lord.
There might be a volume two that I don't even know about. That could be bad for you.
Yes.
This is the one that I know right here. Well, I'm going to have to buy this anyway. I'm trying to see how many...
Oh, it's okay.
...shows they have.
Oh, you meant TV series.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they're movie series. I'm just trying to figure out how... Because this says Love Comes Softly series, but they were like 2-hour-long movies in these series. I think it, they're just calling it a series because it's based off books.
Mm.
So they're, you know, novels that all include, you know, the same family.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha.
I was just trying to see if it would list, because it says 4 discs, but I don't know how many movies.
Yeah, because a lot of my series I just kind of have to not even think about. So I've got 6 in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre series. 8, 9 in the Nightmare on Elm Street series. 6 within the Night of Living Dead / Dawn of the Dead / Living Dead 3D. Which all have to go by the wayside by our previous statements.
There are 8 movies in this series.
My God. But this is going to be interesting. I'm definitely going to have to double, triple up on you.
I'm going to have to buy this online. Oh, I love it. Which is funny because I'm not Christian, but it's based, I think it's supposedly a Christian-based movie series, but I don't think that the Christian part doesn't really come all the way through. I mean, there's a couple points when they pray, but just according to the time period of when these take place, which is, you know, during the Wild Wild West, I guess, if you want to say, because the first one, you know, it's because they're moving out west from the east. The new frontier. I like period pieces. People should know this. If they watch these things with us, they'll love me for that.
And I will love you even more.
Well, these movies are all based about love. The first one is Love Comes Softly. Then Love's Enduring Promise. Love's Long Journey. Love's Abiding Joy. Love's Unending Legacy. Love Finds a Home. Love Takes Wing. Love's Unfolding Dreams. You're welcome.
Oh, Lord, help me.
You're welcome.
I mean, I've got
nothing
to create
that. Hey, it's got 4.5 stars with all these reviews.
By people who enjoy period pieces.
So I'm at least giving you a good one.
I hope so.
Sucky reviews.
I hope so, because I've got my homework cut out for me. I've got to get you a long-ass series. Or, hell, I'm going to have to get you multiple series. And unfortunately, a lot of my series are shit you don't want to watch to begin with.
We can always to watch them, considering I'm forcing you to watch the complete...
I know, but I don't want to go too far. We'll see. We'll see what I come up with. So I wouldn't push Texas Chainsaw Massacre on you, just because that only has, I like the first one, I like the second one. The remake's alright, but some of the other ones just kind of suck. Though Viggo Mortensen is in the third one.
Well, Katherine Heigl is in the first one of this series.
Watch out!
So, you know.
But yes, we shall, I guess, for now, we'll hold off till at least next week to pick out our movies for each other. Because I know you've still got to order your whole 18,000 series of that. And then get it before we can even talk about reviewing them.
Oh, there's nine. Hold on. 1, 2, 3,
oh, Jesus.
4, 5, 6, 7, no, 8. I counted one twice. My bad. Yeah, well, because I'm going to have to watch the first disc before I give it to you.
Well, you're lucky I'm not mean and just be like, okay, you don't like blood? All right. I don't have all the movie series, so you got to start watching Dexter. That's all he does is watch blood.
You know, we're talking about movie series, not actual series.
I realize this.
So, by technicality...
Hey, Dexter was based on a book.
Oh, well, if we're going to go like that... There's a lot of Daniel Steele movies I can make you watch.
Oh, Jesus Christ, no. Well, we'll see as we go along. But yeah. So far, Year of the Dog, Pulp Fiction, both ranked 3. If you have any differing opinions, any thoughts something should have been higher, something should have been lower, or because of these reviews you saw one of these movies for the first time, please give us a email. Send us an email at naturallydeadwrongpodcast@yahoo.com. You're welcome. Or find us on Facebook, naturally-deadwrong, or at ndwpodcast at on Twitter.
On Twitter, yep. You're welcome.
And also, when you're doing that, we told you last week about our new game with Mad Libs. I don't know, do you still have what we're needing for the Mad Libs?
We need 9 nouns, 1 adverb, 2 verbs ending in ing, 2 adjectives, and that is all.
Alright. So, we need you all to write in, contact us with your words. If we don't,
I will force Lucas to do them all.
Huh? Well, that or I will have to be searching through comments we've already gotten and just picking nouns and adverbs and verbs. Willy-nilly.
That is one way to do it.
We shall see. But until next time, I'm Lucas.
I'm Chanel.
And we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
See ya!
Out the bank, got Steve outside, count a full pack, and everything's cool and everything's smooth.
Hey, that's smooth.
I walk into the teller, I give her the letter, she gives me the loot with bucket up lips and a wink that I found cute. And I said, baby, 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 is there some karmic G love thing happening here, baby, or what? By that time, fast tapping with the night, I said it's time to blow, you know. So out the door we go, back to the ride, Steve inside and alive, and off we drive. I hurt my lower lumbar, you know we never get far riding around in a stolen police car. So we dropped it off and piled in the caddy. Steve was driving, cause I had to talk to my man.
Well, see, I don't know anything about any fucking setup. You can torture me all you want.
Torture you, that's a good idea. I like that one.
Running around, robbing banks, all whacked up with Scooby snacks. Running around.
for these jobs, make a little money. No one gets hurt if they don't act funny. On the way to the yacht, we almost got caught. Fast shooting mailboxes, knowing where the cops is, yeah. They got the Dunkin' Donuts adjacent from the phone juice mailbox. Fast that just exploded. They gave chase from our man Steve's and Ace, and we lost those brothers with haste. We cast it off, and along we went off from Bermuda to an island resort. We rented.
Dunnitar, I need you cool. Are you cool?
Nothing.